Support for the show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Welcome back to the Prop G Pod's Office Hours. This is the part of the show where we answer your questions about business, big tech, entrepreneurship, and whatever else is on your mind. If you'd like to submit a question, visit officehours.propgmedia.com. Again, that's officehours.propgmedia.com. First question.
Hey, Scott, it's Mark from Albany, Georgia. I was wondering what your opinion was of Apple and Google recently removing an opposition voting app on Friday, September 17th. That could have helped disseminate information to Russian voters. Their media, which is state TV, does not provide an even-handed view of any opposition candidates or ideologies, and of course their internet would censor the same. These apps were supposed to help voters focus on which opposition candidates might have a chance, but I guess no more. Seems like between supporting information delivery for voters versus supporting a corrupt regime, these companies chose the latter. What about the do no evil of Google and Apple's protection of privacy? Is this the new paradigm where shareholder profits are paramount? Anyway, thanks in advance and love the show. By the way, I think I met you back in the day at our fraternity at UCLA. Thanks again.
Wow, I wonder what your last name is, Mark. I wonder, that's interesting. We're fraternity brothers, but you didn't give me your last name. Mark from Albany, Georgia. I'm trying to go back. I don't remember much of that as I was drunk or high most of the time. Not all of the time. It's not easy to get a 2.27 GPA at UCLA because that means you get less than a 2.0 several times and you go on academic probation. And then if you get another sub 2.0 GPA, you go subject to dismissal. So I would just figure out a way to get a couple Bs that would give me another two or three semesters before I get kicked out again. But and it's all your fault, Mark. You are the negative influence on me. Not that I know who you are, but you led me down that path. Good times. Love it. Give money back to UCLA such that kids with their shit together, and there are a lot of them there, can have some of the opportunities afforded to me. Anyway, it's not why I went there. So look, Mark, I think it's easy to be a purist on this stuff. And what happened here, there's just no getting around it. It's upsetting. Apple and Google removed the Navalny app, named after prominent Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, on the same day that polls opened for parliamentary elections. According to CNN, the Navalny app offered recommendations for casting strategic votes to unseat incumbents from Putin's party, United Russia. Russian authorities, who claim the app is illegal, prompted the app's removal when they threatened to prosecute Apple and Google employees based in the country. So there's just no getting around it. This is a corrupt country. And we have two choices. We either operate in corrupt countries, and there are a lot of them, or we leave because they will kick us out if we do not comply with their laws, and they get to make the laws. So the question is, would we be better off, or do we think the world would be better off and our place in the world by not operating in Russia? That's what it comes right down to. And in certain instances, we decided to not do that. Google picked up and took their ball and went home after it was clear that China wanted them to share information and was stealing their IP. I don't know. I think I kind of land on the side of big tech in that it is very hard to find moral clarity around doing business in nations that are corrupt. And I probably ultimately side with Apple and Google and say that Russia is, I would even go as far as say Russia's our enemy. They're like this power whose influence is waning. Their economy is, I think, 1/12 the size of ours. It's basically a kind of a gas station with nuclear weapons. And as a result, they act out. I think they're very smart and very strategic and are using social media platforms, see above, Facebook, to tear us apart by constantly inciting more coarse discourse on these platforms with millions of bots. Supposedly two-thirds of the metrics being reported in terms of ad viewership are bots. And I think a lot of those come out of China and Russia, who said, I know we can't compete with the U.S. on economics, on innovation, or on military, so let's atomize the competition. Let's tear them apart internally. Let's have them start eating their young. Let's have them start hating each other. And I think they've been very effective at it. For the cost of an aircraft carrier, not even the cost of an aircraft carrier, the cost of a small frigate, they can hire tens of thousands of people in troll farms to find people with any influence and antagonize them, or to incent fights on Twitter, or to spread misinformation. I think that's exactly what they're doing. So it's a corrupt nation. But I would like to see us take more and more money out of that nation, whether it's Samsung or their own technology. I think we're sort of playing into their hands if we exit those nations. I would rather see us continue to have the economic engine that we are. Does that say we should do business with every country? No. But be clear, that void of technology will be filled by other players, probably Chinese players, should we decide to exit. So difficult to find moral clarity. I probably come down, I think it's easy to be a purist, but I think what's probably best for America is to hold our noses and recognize that if we want to operate in these countries, we've got to comply with their laws, even if their laws are corrupt. So I'm like, cash their rubles and then reinvest in a great democracy, reinvest in regulation that cleans up the shit off of Facebook, where Russia is fucking with us every day. Tough one. Trying to think of who you are. Were we pledge brothers? Anyways, definitely one of the many reasons I can no longer run for governor of Florida is because of my years in the fraternity. That shit's definitely going to come back to haunt me. Worth it. Question number two.
Hi, Professor Scott. My name is Nikhil, and I am based in Melbourne, Australia. I will be joining a tech firm called Supermicro very soon over here as a sales manager, and I am up against giant firms like HPE, Dell, and Lenovo, who have captured a large chunk of the server market. Knowing our team is very small when compared to theirs, what sort of a sales strategy do you think is effective in going against Goliaths, knowing I am David? Thank you very much.
Nikhil, you sound so refined. You sound like someone who's the sort of the ultimate, I don't know, concierge or chief of staff or some billionaire nemesis. Anyways, so the global server market is now worth more than $23 billion. HPE and Dell are tied for leadership in the industry. Together, they account for about a third of the total market revenue. So it's not a concentrated industry. The two biggest players account for 31%, whereas the two biggest players in digital marketing are 80%, Google and Facebook, or the two largest e-commerce companies, just one, is 50% of all online revenue, i.e. Amazon. Or there are two companies, Apple and Google, iOS and Android, respectively, that are probably 90% of the global operating systems for handhelds. Anyways, what is the strategy? It's pretty simple. The specific crowds out the general. When you're smaller, you got to go very, very focused, very niche. You know, servers for the biotech industry, or servers for a certain type of company, or servers that are more green, whatever it might be, the specific crowds out the general. And you need to basically go to places where you can be so laser focused that for that specific niche or need, you're going to be the superior offering. Because the big guys, quite frankly, don't look at small markets. They look at niches as sort of like, is that worth our time in order to move the needle? If we're 15% of a $23 billion market, we're a $5 billion market, we don't go after $10 million niches. So you got to go very niche and very specific. I don't see any other way to compete in any industry against large companies. But guess what? The great thing about large companies is they're large. And they become very bureaucratic. They become very slow. They have a lot of advantages. But small companies have advantages too. And I generally find that a lot of companies like to deal with small players. You can be better at relationship management, better at customer services. I started Red Envelope going up against big players in e-commerce. I started Profit Brand Strategy going up against very big consulting firms. And I started L2 going up against very big analytics companies. And now I'm starting Section 4 going up against huge multi-billion dollar organizations called the universities. And in every instance, if you find a niche and you can do a better job through focus, intense focus, and quite frankly, just out fucking hustling them, you can carve that niche. And then what you want to do with a small company, what is your objective with a small company? It's to find half a dozen, two dozen clients that will be your evangelist, to overserve them, even if it means late nights and losing some money initially. You need to create a core of evangelists who say, I'm going to this company, I'm going to take you with me, or I'm going to give you the email or refer you to a buddy of mine at this company. That is what it's all about. Your product strategy all studies to the following test. How do I create a small chorus of intense evangelists for my offering? And the way you're going to do it, my brother, is through focus, the specific crowds out the general. We'll be right back. Support for the show comes from Betterment. Even the most hardcore of us need to kick back and chill every now and then. But if you're an investor, chill is the last thing you want your money to be doing. You want it to be pumping iron and running marathons for you. If you want your money performing at an Olympic level, you might want to check out Betterment's automated investment and savings app. Betterment's automated technology gives you advanced tools that are built to help maximize returns. Tools like diversified, expert-built portfolios of low-cost ETFs, high-yield cash accounts, and automated investing technology, including automated rebalancing. Plus, Betterment can help with tax-efficient investing. Strategies including their Tax Loss Harvesting Plus and Asset Location can help minimize your taxes and maximize your returns. So whether you're saving or investing, your money should be working as hard as it possibly can for you. Consider Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. You can visit Betterment.com to get started. You can learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Support for Prop G comes from NerdWallet. You don't have to be a genius to start making better financial decisions today. It's not that sexy, but piling up lots of little monetary victories today can yield some pretty significant rewards down the line. The tricky part is knowing where to start. NerdWallet can help. Their financial experts have helped countless people find ways to maximize every dollar they earn. Now, the team is helping folks get more from every dollar they spend. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering up to 10 times the points on every dollar you charge. Their expert team of nerds do the work reviewing top credit cards so you can trust you have the smartest one for future you. If I had better rewards right now, I'd probably upgrade my hotel at South by Southwest so I could have a big fat party and everyone would be impressed and love me. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Welcome back. Question number three.
Hi, Prof. G. Congrats on your CNN gig. Hopefully you are not too cool for school to answer another question. Thank you for all you do. We are a small business out in California ready to make the next move, which is a new hire. Do we hire a biz dev person or a marketing person? These are two completely different roles, I understand. Ideally, the person can do both, but where should their focus be? Getting new business or getting the word out there? Thank you again. Hope to hear from you.
Thank you, Sun. Sun from California. I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that your parents were hippies. And I like that you think daddy is cool, but let's be honest, I make a room cooler by leaving it, but thank you anyways. So there are about 750,000 open business development positions in the U.S. on LinkedIn and about 620,000 open marketing positions. So the key is just to find, I'm a big believer in hiring great athletes, that even if somebody doesn't have the perfect background for the job description, you kind of have your list of what you want in a person. And then my grandmother used to say this, and she was talking about mating or boyfriends and girlfriends, and that is you have your list, and then you fall in love and you tear up your list. I think you do the same when hiring, and that is when you meet someone good, when you meet a great athlete that just feels like they'd be good at whatever they did, you hire that person. Especially in a small business, you need a series of great athletes. You need a team of decathletes that can kind of play a lot of different sports. I don't know the specific situation in your company to answer biz dev versus marketing. My bias is towards biz dev. Traditional marketing, as I think you've identified here, it's a very difficult way to measure customer acquisition, spending money on PR and general advertising. But if you're B2B, and I don't know what your business is, at the end of the day, the best thing you can do for your brand is to sell your product to people, get revenues in the door, and have people love it. And so a BD person that helps find customers, especially if it's B2B, is I would, where my kind of bias would be. Again, I know nothing about your business, so this is a difficult one. At L2, one thing I would sort of say more generally is I've always been more of a product person, and that is we had a creative team of 8 people and animators trying to make the product come alive at L2, our analytics company, to make beautiful content and beautiful reports and research before we had a salesperson. And that is, I think that in an era of social media and kind of this networked economy, that truly breakthrough products break through and get a decent amount of oxygen on their own. So I think marketing to a certain extent in B2B has given way to true 10x better products. Like, you got to just be product obsessed. And if the product really sings, people will find it. And again, you want to create those evangelists. So not knowing your business, I mean, small companies have a difficult time spending any real money, getting any real heft in terms of marketing. And all of your marketing should be very data-driven, customer acquisition, online. I hate to say it, Google and Facebook are probably kind of the only games in town. Maybe a little bit of PR if you can get it. But more than anything, in a small company, you want to hire someone fantastic. And my bias here, again, can, you know, big asterisk, big footnote, I don't know your business, is around someone who's going to go out and grab revenue. The focus has got to be, how do we make a much better product? Once you have a better product, the marketing and the biz dev and everything else kind of falls into place. Anyway, Sun, sorry I can't be more specific. Sun from California, Sun from sunny California. I was in Beverly Hills last weekend, pink robe, Beverly Hills Hotel, big sunglasses, Cobb salad, iced tea. Hello, magic. Hello, Southern California magic. That's all for this episode. Again, if you'd like to submit a question, please visit officehours.profgmedia.com. Again, that's officehours.profgmedia.com. Our producers are Caroline Chagrin and Drew Burrows. Claire Miller is our assistant producer. If you like what you heard, please follow, download, and subscribe. Thank you for listening to the Prof G Pod from Vox Media Podcast Network. We will catch you on